I want to say, first of all, that this is the Wednesday we'll be having our services at the Landmark, Nursing Home. It will be at 2 o'clock this Wednesday. If you want to attend, you're welcome to come and to be a part of that. Just come over to the Landmark and about 10 or 15 minutes before 2 o'clock, and we'll be having our service there, and we'll have songs and a little bit of preaching there for the residents there. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject that is in the Word of God. You know, the Bible covers a wide range of topics, and there's a lot of things we can dig as preachers out of the well of God's Word. We're going to look at what the Bible says about friends and friendship tonight. We're going to look at the topic of friends, good and bad. And we know what the topic's going to be when we talk about friendship, how each one of us are to be friends to one another, especially in the body of Christ. I believe it's easier to make friends within the body of Christ than any other place in this world today. Our lesson text is taken from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Here about the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And this is speaking about the issue of friendship tonight. Talking about how that if we want to have friends, we've got to make ourselves available and show ourselves friendly in order to attract people. We often choose our friends. The more charismatic a person it may be, the more we're drawn to them. And it may be that that is a good thing, or it may not be a good thing. It's not really the lesson how there are some friends we want to avoid. And there are some friends, though, I believe the minority, though, are good friends that will be there through thick and thin, no matter what. So let's look at this lesson tonight with the mindset of looking and seeing about the people that we like and realize we're with in this world. Are they good friends to us? How many true friends do we really have in this world today? I want to look, first of all, at some examples of friends in the Scriptures. I think about David and Jonathan. Those were two of the Bible pictures as being good friends, friends that were there for each other. They were there of times of need for each one. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." That's talking about the relationship that Jonathan, even though Jonathan was Saul's son, Saul was the king, at one time wanted to kill David, and many times would try to hunt down David and try to maybe even use the friendship of Jonathan against David. But it was that Jonathan never stopped being his friend. Even when David was going to be the true king, and God anointed through the hand of Samuel David to be the king. And so it was because Saul had the kingdom rent from him, he had lost his kingship. And that meant that Jonathan was not going to be king. And I believe he realized that. And he knew what was right. And he knew what was the proper thing to still be David's friend throughout all the times. Another example of friends may be Naomi and Ruth. You may not think of them as being friends, but they were the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law relationship. And I believe there was a bond there. There was a relationship that it ought to be there, a friendship between those who are relatives. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." One thing about I realized that there was a loyalty there. And I believe that shows us a loyalty that a daughter-in-law ought to have for her mother-in-law. And that also shows us friendship, how we ought to have that kind of loyalty in friendship, where it is that wherever they go. And if there was not some kind of affinity there, if there was not some kind of reason that she wanted to be there, I believe she saw that was attracted to Naomi. Ruth stuck with her through thick and thin because of that. We could think about others such as Elisha and Elijah, how they were friends. Now I want to say this. When you're working for the cause of God together, and we're going to look at several people in the Bible that did work together, it is hard to not be friends. When you are doing the work of God that God wants us to do, it would be impossible not to have, because you have so much in common. You have the Word of God in common. You have the common work that God gives to. And these were two prophets of God, Elijah and Elisha. And I believe they just weren't ones who, they were companions of one another. They were ones who followed. Elisha followed Elijah. And it was that I believe they were friends in this. There was an affinity there. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." Now, he realizes Elijah's not going to be there. Elisha does. And the Bible says that Elijah went unto Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. That shows us, again, loyalty. Shows us that he wanted to be there with him no matter what was going on. Whether he'd be there soon or be gone up to the heaven like he did. The Bible tells us the Lord would take him into heaven. Translate him in that way. But then we think about the New Testament. Friends like Paul and Barnabas, they were companions. And that's really one of the definitions of a friend, is a companion. Someone who's there for us in times of need. Someone who can be there for us. And they were working together in the cause of God. They were making the preaching trips, Paul and Barnabas. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9, when he first met Saul of Tarsus, who was once the persecutor. The Bible tells us when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how they had seen the Lord in the way, and had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord. One thing I see about Barnabas was, he was somebody, if he was for you, he was on your side, then you didn't have anything to fear. Here, Barnabas was on the side of Saul of Tarsus because he knew he could vouch for him because he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus at Damascus. And that's one reason when everyone else may not be for us, a friend is for us. And a friend will rise up and say, you know, I can vouch for that person. I know his character. I know what he stands for. And a friend is like that. And Barnabas was the best friend that Saul of Tarsus had in that occasion. One who would stand for him and tell the congregation at Jerusalem not to be afraid of him because he was truly a disciple. But then also we think about other friendships, like Paul and Timothy. You may like a father and son type relationship that they had. Here the Bible tells us that Paul considered Timothy a son because of their age difference. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, "Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, I believe there was a sentimental way that Paul looked at young Timothy. He saw a man of character, of faith, who loved the Lord and loved his service with Paul. That's why Paul took him to go with him and preach the gospel with him. Young Timothy, he saw the character that he was, that he was a good, profitable servant in the Lord. And I believe that Paul could not help but have an affinity for young Timothy in that way. We may talk about some that in our generation who have great friendships and love for each other and brothers and sisters in Christ today. Because the Bible tells us to have unfeigned love of the brethren. And part of that love, as we talked about last Sunday night, was that phileo love, that friendship love that you and I have, that we are to be a part of having a friendship for each one and another. But then also Jesus and His disciples, they had this type of friendship. I believe when He was training and teaching His disciples, that he loved. The Bible even talks about one disciple whom the Lord loved. John 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You know, Jesus, he wanted the best for his disciples, but he also had this friendship. There was a bond there. because they had done so much together in the short time they were together during the ministry of Jesus. And that shows us that we can have, whether how long or short our duration of friendship and work together here as a congregation may be, we can become very close as friends doing the work of God. I believe it was John, like we said, was the disciple whom the Lord loved. There was love there. But then also we think about Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife. We often think about how husband and wives, you know, they have that love that a husband ought to have for his wife. But there's also a friendship there that needs to be there. That kind of friendship that when you're working together, that you're able to do that and be really comfortable with one another. In Acts 18, verse 26, these two work together, even in the cause of Christ, together. In Acts 18, verse 26, the Bible says, when they saw Apollos preaching the baptism of John, the Bible says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, talking about Apollos, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know, that's something that they often worked with Paul too. Paul was a friend to Aquila and Priscilla. They made tents together, the Bible tells us. And all this shows us the close relationship we have as friends, as workers and companions together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I also want to talk about in this lesson some of the bad friends. We'll talk about the bad friends first, and then we will talk about and maybe kind of compare and contrast the good friends we can have and how good friends can do so much more for us than the bad friends that we might have. Bad friends that we can have will take advantage of us. And isn't that true, people, that when they want something from us, they may be your best friend to you, to your face. As long as you are giving them money or whatever they desire from you, you are their best friend. But watch out when that whatever you're supplying them, whatever they can take advantage of you, whatever it is, if it's cut off, then you lose that friend. But that's not the kind of friend that we ought to seek to have. Friends that will take advantage of us. In Luke chapter 15, we're reminded of the prodigal son. And preachers have maybe kind of embellished this story, maybe just a little bit, because we know that this goes on in life. That as long as we have money, like that prodigal son who had all his father's inheritance, then he goes off in that far country. But it doesn't say that he had all kinds of friends. We may kind of say, well, he might have had friends, and many friends. But isn't that true in life? I just want to say, if you have money, as long as you've got your inheritance, like if we were to do that to now, we know it's true. You'd have as many friends as you want, as long as you're buying the alcohol and doing worldly things like that. As long as you are supplying whatever those friends want. But as long as that goes on, you'll have those friends. What happened to the prodigal son? Well, we know and understand that when his money ran out, he had no one to dare to help him in his time of need. He even there went to desire to eat of the corn or the husk of the swine ate. But he decided then to go back to his father's house. And we're glad that he did, because that's where his really true friendship was, because the father loved his son. But they are friends that will take advantage of us. And I'll tell you tonight, don't let friends take advantage of you. Because a friend that will do that is not a true friend. But there's also friends that abandon or betray us. And we see biblical examples of this, of people who are betrayed or they are abandoned because of one reason or another. In John 16, verse 32, here Jesus said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered." Now who is he talking to? He's talking to the 12 there. The ones that usually had been faithful. Like in John 6, when all of the multitudes went away, Peter was saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" But this was different. This was when the Lord would be taken into custody. Judas would betray him. And now he says, "My hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye should be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Even when all of our friends scatter and abandon from us, we still have God. You know, we would think about that. True child of God will never be forsaken. God loves us. It's like Jesus said, the Father is with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, here the Bible tells us a time when Demas forsook him. We could read him and find out that Demas was a traveling companion of Paul. And here the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So all that tells us one thing about Demas, though. It tells us why he abandoned Paul. It wasn't because he was just going there and not going to be with Paul just for a short time and come back to Paul. This was an abandonment because Demas abandoned the Lord. And that's one thing the Bible tells us, gives us the reason. Having loved this present world. It's sad when we lose friends. But here Paul, he lost a friend, a traveling companion, a fellow Christian. But he lost him to the world. And that's sometimes what happens, that we'll be forsaken because of our friends. Paul had, I believe, grief over this. I believe it was something that caused the heart of Paul to realize Demas was no longer faithful to him. Faithful to the Lord, rather. In Psalm 41, verse 9, here David wrote a psalm about this. Says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. What's David talking about here? We know this is also a prophecy of Christ about what Judas would do. But did you know that David also felt the sting of betrayal? You know, he had his own son go against him, Absalom. But there were others, not just Absalom, but others who abandoned Paul and betrayed Paul, who lifted up their heel against David, rather. And so all that shows us that happens. Life can treat us unkindly in some ways because of our abandonment of friends. But it's also the scripture of prophecy. We can read in John 13, verse 18. Here Jesus says again, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. And what did Judas betray Jesus for? 30 pieces of silver. Just for the money that he could have. He realized that money was not worth losing his best friend he could ever had, was the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there are also friends that will abuse us. And this is, I believe, what Job had. The Bible speaks about in Job 16, verse 20. Here Job had some friends, three friends, that came to comfort him. But in one place he says, oh, you are miserable comforters. And here the Bible says, Job 16, 20. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. What's Job saying? His friends were there not to help him. It maybe seemed like they were there to help him, but at many times they accused Job of being doing some kind of wicked things, of doing maybe because of he's suffering because of some wickedness he's hiding. Maybe he's not done like as honestly as he really ought to be. Maybe he's holding sin in his life somewhere. But yet they were miserable comforters. Friends that abuse us for whatever reason are not true friends. Friends love us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. But then there are friends who can be worldly minded. And that's the type of friend that's out there in this world. A friend that just wants the pursuits of worldliness. And we've got to stay away. As children of God, we've got to stay away from that type of friend. In James 4, verse 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In other words, if we have worldly friends and we become like those worldly friends, we become an enemy of God because of that. Because God does not like us to become worldly and unfaithful. It refers to adulterers and adulteresses as the unfaithfulness part of that. We've got to be faithful and have a fidelity to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His Word. and to live according to what the Word teaches us for us today. What about worldly friends? You maybe have seen some of those in your lifetime who would rather take you out and show you a good time in a worldly way. They want to celebrate in a worldly way and a worldly fashion. And they want to have fun, so-called. It's not the kind of fun a child of God would call fun. And they can lead us away from our own steadfastness if we are trying to go to heaven. And we know that we are trying to go to heaven. And we should stay away from worldly-minded friends. And that brings us to the next point. That friends that lead us to sin is not a friend that you want to have around you. One that will always trying to get us and provoke us and to get us to do things we know are wrong. Offer us things that we know we cannot accept. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, here the Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners," or good morals, some translations have. What he's saying is, you've got to be careful about even the companions you have. You've got to be careful about who you make your circle of friends. And I believe a true child of God will lose the wrong kind of friend automatically. Because what causes people to hang around together? That old saying, birds of a feather flock together. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. What if you're a child of God, you won't want to hang around because you have nothing in common with people of the world. Now, you may have acquaintances, and I'm not saying that you can't completely try to just simply separate yourself from that. But what we ought to be is a friend that tries to lead people to the Lord. And if we do that, the worldly-minded friends will automatically say, "Well, if I have to be your friend, then I'm going to have to give up my worldliness." And maybe they may be calling to make that kind of decision. So we've got to decide, and even our children. I want to tell you this, that maybe our children, our young teenagers and maybe young ones, may think, "Well, why can't I have so-and-so as a friend?" I'll tell you right now, sometimes because we need to, as parents, choose who our children, and that may be something they don't want to hear, but we need to choose for them the kind of friends they ought to have. And if there is a bad apple they're trying to be friends with, say, "You know, that's not the kind of person you should be friends with." And they may not understand that because they're children. But we are the parents. And sometimes we have to make difficult choices and realize the danger that friends can have, the influence that bad friends can have over them in that way. We think about in 2 Samuel 13, there was a bad influence that Amnon had. One of the sons of David said, "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and he wasn't much of a friend. The son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day?'" He said, "Why are you so sad and upset all the time? Why wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister." And you can read the rest of that story. What that friend helped him do was to commit a wicked, sinful act. And that's something that one friend should never do for another. He thought maybe he was helping him out. But yet, he caused him, or helped him, rather, to commit a sinful act. But then there are friends that give us foolish counsel. Kind of friends that you ask for advice, and they'll tell you maybe what you want to hear, or maybe what they want you to do. Maybe the case. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 8 to 11, King Rehoboam had a choice. He could listen to the counsel of the older, wiser men, or he could listen to maybe his friends he grew up with. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said unto them, 'What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who has spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter?' The young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, 'Thou shalt speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.'" He got some bad advice that day. Because of that, the kingdom was torn in two. because of the advice. He took the wrong advice. And there may be friends who give you the wrong advice. Maybe they're thinking from a worldly standpoint. Maybe they're thinking from a selfish standpoint. Or it may, they're just trying to make you feel better in some ways. Give you the easy choice. But it's all, if it's foolish counsel, friends we don't need like that. But I want to talk about, now for the rest of the lesson, good friends we can have. Because I think it's needful for us to go out and seek good friends. First of all, friends that genuinely like us for who we are. You know, if somebody cannot take us for who we are as a child of God, and I made that point just a moment ago about worldly friends. If your worldly friends cannot take you for being a child of God now, then you don't need those kind of friends. But we need to find friends that genuinely like us for who we are. And I think here in the body of Christ, I believe we can find people who are that type of people, who genuinely like us for who we are. They're not trying to may take advantage of us in any way. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. You know what that's saying? Is this. Whether you have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money, you have something they can give or you don't have something you can give them, they still love you for who you are. And that's the kind of friends we need. Kind that loves us just for who we are. Love our personality. Love the commonality we have. The things we have in common and such. Then there are friends that don't desert us. We mentioned this scripture in Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I didn't talk much about that, but I'm going to tell you this. There's friends that you can have that are closer than even your closest family members. Because of, and I've had friends like this who are close to you and they love you sometimes better than family. And that's something to be able to say that I've got a friend that sticks closer to me than even one of my family members immediately. We love those family members. But then there's friends that don't desert us, like in Hebrews 13:5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll tell you right now, who is that friend we're talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we said earlier about no matter what friends forsake us, the Lord's always with us. Jesus is the best friend we've ever had. We may never have seen Him with our eyes. We know He's there by faith. And if we have a friend here on this world, we know He is our friend. We can read about Him in the Scriptures. We can get close to Him through the Scriptures and through prayer and through the Lord's Supper. All of that shows us there's a friend that does not desert us nor forsake us. Then there are friends that are kind and seek the best for us, just like Jesus does. But then we think about here in 2 Samuel 9:1, and David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul? This is right after Saul was dead. His house was, David's inquiring about his house. It says, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Because his friendship was so close to Jonathan, he wanted to do kind to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And there was one, Mephibosheth. I was worried if I was going to stumble at that word. But Mephibosheth was one who David dealt kindly with. And he set him in the king's house. And all the days of his life, he lived in the royal palace. That was a wonderful thing that David was so kind because he showed kindness to Saul's house. Even though Saul tried to kill him and murder him, David was truly a man after God's own heart when it came to his kindness. Do we have friends like this who are kind and seek the best for us? That's the kind of friend I like to have. I don't know, they want to see the best for you. Not the worst, but the best for you. Then there are friends that are heavenly minded. Not worldly minded, but heavenly minded. And once again, I believe the body of Christ makes the best friends that you could ever have is here in the assembly of God where the saints of God meet. You can find some of the best people, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, among your brethren. In 2 Peter 1:1, Peter says, that he was a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And I'll just stop right there. You know what that means? There's something we have in common. We have like precious faith. We believe in the same things. We believe the Bible, the Scriptures. We have so much in common. We also have heaven as our goal. We're working toward the same goal. We're doing the same things. We're worshiping God. We're doing all we can to please the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so all that gets us, shows us how we can be true friends to each other in the body of Christ. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Paul says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." You know what Paul's saying? Every child of God, and this is not a, we can either choose to do this or not. We've got to make heaven our goal. If we're risen with Christ, he's talking about the risen, the waters of baptism, a new creature in Christ now. We are to seek those things which are above. If you've got that on your mind, and you have a friend that has the same thing, we can walk together and do the work together in that way. But then there are friends that help us stay out of sin. And that's good. As also, as children of God, we need friends like this who will at times even rebuke us because of our sins. And we know that sin hurts us. It destroys. It's destructive behavior. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, here the Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You know what he's saying? He's saying this. When somebody who's our best friend, who will wound us, not with a weapon, but with the Word of God, because it is the sword of the Spirit, and it will cut us. And if we have sin in our lives, it will absolutely do what needs to be done to get that sin out of our lives. And it's faithful. A friend like that. It's not like the kisses of an enemy who are deceitful, that flatters us, that tells us, "Oh, you're so good," when even though we're in sin. Nathan was a true friend to David. The Bible tells us he rebuked him and said, "You are the man who had done this deed, taking Uriah the Hittite's wife." And so he had killed and covered up that. I believe David could relate to what the proverb writer said here, that faithful are the wounds of a friend. It may have wounded David, but in the end, it helped him. And it helps us when we let that to work in our lives. And friends that give us wise counsel rather than foolish counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." It's talking about good counsel. Counsel that will help us, is sound, is helpful to the needs of the moment. You and I need that kind of counsel. Where can we find that? In the world? In the magazines of today? It's found in the Word of God. I believe you'll see that the children of God make the best friends. Because we won't lie to one another unless we are unfaithful to God. And we know we shouldn't do that. If we're a faithful child of God, we'll not lie, betray, or abandon, or deal deceitfully in any way. That's why we'll give good counsel too. We'll do all those things because we want the best for the people of God. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, the last scripture of the lesson, says this, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." We need to help each other in that way. You know what he's saying? Iron can sharpen one another. We will sharpen each other. He takes the example of how these iron can be sharpened this way. Only thing we'll do is when we talk about the Scriptures and point to God and His Word and say, "This is what the Bible says and this is what you need to do in this situation," we realize we're sharpening one another. We're helping each other to know what God's Word says and how to be a friend when we do this. Well, my friend gave me a memento one time, and I still have it in my house here. But it has that simple scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron. And I like that because I believe he has the same keychain where he is. And that shows us one thing about we can definitely help each other. You have good friends. I hope that every member of the church here could say, I'm a friend to everyone. I want to be the kind that's good and helpful and beneficial to us. But like we said, there's no better friend that you could ever have. The Bible tells us in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus went to the cross for his friends. He died for those who would come to him and love him and serve him as his sheep. Are you willing to do that for him? Make him your friend. Make him what he needs to be, the Lord of your life. Put him in that place of honor and respect. Serve him all the days of your life. And I believe heaven will be our home, just as the Bible tells us that those who have the right to the tree of life are those who do his commandments, walk in his ways. If you're here tonight and subject to invitation call, by faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of your sins, confession of that faith, and baptism into Christ to put on Christ, you desire to do that? Why don't you come as together we stand and sing?